Michael Meets is a podcast interviewing regular people about life, work, their interests and aspirations. I'd really like to start travelling around Ireland recording more life stories. If you're interested or you know someone, please contact me via Facebook, facebook.com/Michael Meets, or by emailing hello@michaelmeets.com. A few weeks back, I took a break to County Kerry with Ger, my husband, and we stopped at a bar for some lunch. I overheard a conversation about an 83-year-old blacksmith. He worked from the age of 13, had never been married, and never missed a Sunday Mass. Ger being a photographer and me being the podcaster, we jumped into the car the next day and drove down to see if we could meet the man himself. Florence, while welcoming, was a little reluctant, but the charming nature of Ger, he agreed to give us a few minutes of his time. In this podcast, you'll hear us both asking questions, trying to get to spend a little more time with the man himself. The first part of the recording we can't use, as he insisted on continuing his work, and with the roar of the fire, the clunks of the hammer hitting the iron, it was just not suitable audio. The rest of the podcast is a straight run through with no edits. As for a man who worked for 70 years, didn't want to stop working, and told us at the beginning that our time was limited. We start when Florence starts showing us the many photographs the tourists visiting Ireland have taken of him and posted back to his home address. The year was 1932, and it was the year that Florence was born in County Kerry.
The crowd is coming out there onto the cliff, cleaned it all.
But again, no, of course not.
He was Roger Harris, and he was from Switzerland. He's English. But they took a photo there some years back, 2003. Mm. And he sent me, that's my own book.
Oh, yeah.
And look, that's me there on the pony. That's John McCapty now, the man that was imprisoned in the Lebanon. And that's him there again. He's my cousin, distant. He was on the late last week.
He's your distant cousin, yeah. Is he?
Distant cousin, yeah.
Why was he on the late
show? He wrote a book, he stayed around here. That's myself. His wife now that took them. Before she was a professional photographer. That's all they know. There's some only family photos and things. And no more than that now. But this is the book. Roger, I tell you a story, wasn't it? Roger Harrison sent me this book. It's about the fellow that is sent you there. That's the letter saying about February 2000. Yeah. They did 10 or 12 of them come the following year, photographing again back then. But anyway, he sent me this book, which is about a farming family in Bavaria. It is all in German, of course. Yeah, it is. But anyway, about 2 years ago, this car stopped the road, across the road, and I was outside there, walking. And there were two husbands and wives. And they were looking across, and in the finish, I picking them across. And they came over, and said 10 years ago, they photographed me. And they said, I asked them where they were from. They said they were from Bavaria. I said, come out now. I said, I have something to show you. One couple, they knew the family in the book, in this book.
Wow.
They knew the family in the book. That's sort of a coincidence, but that you see, to the family. Family, like. And, But, I have another big one outside that the woman across the road, the pub, did. And that's slash now. I'm finished with healing. Mass immigration, number one. And we have a lot of it today. Rural Ireland is getting an awful knocking. An awful knocking altogether. The young lads now qualified. They qualified them when things were going well. Electricians and plumbers and all this stuff. Our area here, there were top builders. Carpenters, the top, the best. And a lot of them were on Canada. They had to go. And, they have improved now, but not in rural Ireland yet. To know, it is slack. And it was all a harshing and, making, doing the wheels of the cars and all to that. And that was plenty. No.
And Lawrence, have you always done blacksmithing?
We used to make them. They were for the horse's hair, the chain across. And they'd be down through the shaft. That's an old one over there, look. But it was all that work. That's what I was at doing for. But I worked without any electricity for years. We hadn't it. We had to wait till it came. I'll show you another book now that I made. Come over here, Andrew.
And Lawrence, what age did you start blacksmithing?
How's the other book?
What age did you start blacksmithing?
Did I start?
What
13
age?
And a half.
13 and a half?
I stopped school at 13 and I was a good scholar. Going to school, but I had to come home. My father died when I was about 20 or 21.
Right.
Yeah, and there was 6-5 under me. So myself and the brother, we had to stick it out.
So you had to go to work then?
Yeah.
Am I coming in or waiting here?
You've been a couple of more of them now.
Yeah, here.
Where's the photographer?
Gerard?
Yes.
Where's the photographer?
Oh, yeah. God, you have a lovely house.
Oh, it's...
Look at him.
Look, that's great. Brilliant.
I've shown a horse there, look.
Yeah.
That's recent now.
Yeah.
That's recent. Yeah. That's isn't very long ago at all now. That's my son there.
That's a great picture, isn't it?
And look at that one.
That one's brilliant. How come you don't have that hanging on your wall?
Do you see that?
Yes. Oh my God,
Do you see that horse?
That's brilliant, yeah.
That horse came from England.
That's that. No, it's not that picture, is it?
I don't know. That's only about three years ago.
Who painted this?
Huh?
That's a good painting. Who did that?
No, she's back in Dingle. Her name, look, she's a sign there. Martina Moriarty.
Martina.
That's her own horse. She brought the horse from England and she used to ride out with Fergie over in England.
Yeah, that's true.
Look, the horse is there.
The horse,
look, her name is signed there, Martina Moriarty. Do you see it? Actually, they're only a photo of this painting.
Yeah.
And I sold a lot of them for about 12 quid. And she lives in West of England all the time. I think the painting itself was about 190. Mm. She took a photograph first.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
And Lawrence, when you get into the blacksmith, who trained you?
My father.
Oh, it was your father?
I'm the fourth generation blacksmith.
Fourth.
My grandfather, my great grandfather, here. And the story is, my great grandfather was Dingle, and he was only 12 years old when he came over. And the story is, there were cousins in Castlemaine that came back there after the famine. Mm. And over to them he was to come. And there was a blacksmith here before him. And that man left and he was fell in here.
Right.
And that aimed to follow up there.
And do you see when your father died then, did you become head of the household? And
I had my mother, that was much of a pension, 7 or 8 shillings. There was five younger than me. Well, the other brother was about 2 years younger than me. We worked together until he got married. I didn't. He got married in 1965. And his six in family, they're all graduates, they've done well. But anyway, that's the story. Yeah.
And so living here, living around here, what changes have you seen? Just besides the immigration?
The first lift I can think of is, it was mass immigration. There was one family back here, 40 in the 40s, they turned out. They went to America, all but one girl. She stayed home with the father and mother. There were several more families the same, and they never came back. They came on holidays and things, but they did all right there, but just sad. But there's a good bit of it happening again. Do you know, they have to go again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that. Do you see the house? Do you see the fine houses they have?
Yeah.
Yeah, fantastic. Yeah. And they're good workers.
Your house is a fine house.
So my house is... My father wasn't born here. He was born back the road there. But another aunt, she was born here. Always. And it was an old house. And I got a job done there a couple of years ago. I know. Cost me a lot of money.
Mm. And so,
And after that, they closed the door.
Yeah. But listen to me. When you were a teenager, what did you do as a teenager growing up?
I went out and enjoyed myself like all of them. I never drank it. Do another tasting. The woman across the road did that now with the pub. She brings them all in to me, the guests, a lot of them.
I'm going to send you big, huge ones of these.
Yeah.
So as a teenager, tell me, what did you get up to?
I used to go to the football field, I didn't play it, and we'd go to dances, and we had drama. I was in drama classes, you know, and I had drama. And
tell
lots
me
of things.
That.
Yeah.
Tell me about drama.
Yeah, I've forgotten one. If you, do you know the local drama, like, do you know?
Yeah, but what did you do? Tell
were
me
you in any
did.
Plays?
Huh?
Did you get? Were you in any plays? Were you in any performances?
Well, Twan Company did a decision, you know, it was making funds for the church.
Right.
You know, and all that stuff. Look, we're in there, at the back of that. At the back of that, and the follow. So that's the story.
What was your part in the play?
I did one of them. It was done by John B. Keane. I know who wrote it. Anybody, Robert Bank. my name was Joreen. Yeah. And, it was great, yeah. And there were several more, I can't think of now. That's so long ago. You know, there was family here, and the girls, there were five, six girls, and they were so interested. They just come down in Dublin to get us. There was good rivalry. There was a few groups here, you know, and there was rivalry. There was a dance hall in Castlemaine. It would be packed, you know, but all that's gone now, you know. There are no dance halls, no more. Yeah, yeah.
There's no dance halls at all?
They're the hotels now, but these were, you had Clipper Callanton, you've heard them, and all them, the Dublin, all them bands.
Yeah.
All them were coming down from Dublin. There'd be a big fighting, maybe during the night between the lads. They'd be friends the following day. Yeah. Come on.
And come here, tell me more. Tell me, when you were in drama class, that's very interesting, though, because I bet you a lot of people don't know that about you, that you were an actor.
Maybe I did three or four, you know, over the years, or maybe more. My brother as well. The two of us, and they were all local, you know. And we remember the pioneers.
Can you remember any lines that you had, or any like things that you had to say, or anything?
There's one of them. No, he's a big builder in Kerry, Nate Shea. He'd be younger than me. He was great. Was anybody? I can't think of a name. Well, it was about time for think of if I forget the name. The matchmaker, do you know, he was the matchmaker. I can't think of it, and I have all forgotten it. Yeah, anything.
And
yeah, but
Florence.
What's the best? People had a great social life, you know, dances and everything. You know,
it was more sociable time. Now everyone's stuck to their iPhones and
They're more staying home now, you know, and go to bed. Like, but still, they're very close knit, you know, all the time there. Rural Ireland, they're very close knit
since we came down
interrelated, like, you know. Well, I tell you now, my grandfather was an only son, and he had seven or eight aunts, sisters, and these people that I would tell you about, they came from after they were supposed to have come back from England after the famine. They were in Castlemaine, was there. My great grandfather, he came over to them, and the grandfather went over with, I know, it's his seven sisters all together. The youngest was only 10 years. She's the only one that came back, and he only stayed a year. I think the mother was dead and the father was alone here as well. He came back. If he stayed over, I might be the Prime Minister of Kent or something.
And how do you feel about them all leaving? How do you feel about everybody leaving?
We don't like it, but they come home, like, to now regular now, but some never came. Some never came back. Never came back. There was a man buried last week now, and he couldn't shot him when he was, and he never came back. He'd say he was up to 90. I remember him. Yeah. But I remember this Foley family back here now, they were great footballers. And the Hartford, they were in America. It was mostly America and England. Yeah, it was England. There was a beat scheme then. You overheard the beat. It was a winter job. That was the first lift I see them getting here. They came home, but, you know, it was enough nearly to keep them after about 3 or 4 months. Wow. You know, and some of them didn't. Some went into London and stayed there then. They worked in the bogs up in Kildare. You know, that was during the war years. And that was cruel. There was a cousin of mine. He was buried last week. He'd be first cousin of my father. He was a carpenter. He went up. He was there. I don't know the years now, but the food all they had, he said, was bad potatoes, you know. And they lived in old Nissen huts, you know, them round Nissen huts. Yeah, they were cold and everything. But there was nothing else. So it was.
And were you all tradesmen? Was it all tradesmen, like in those days, you know? Like, you know the way today, like, everyone's going to college?
Well, I have a brother priest, and he's home now. He's after retiring. He It was in Tallahassee Farm. That's my family there, look. Yeah. Well, so that we buried my sister there, the one on the right now there. She died the 15th of January.
That's very nice. Only this year?
And would you ever think of retiring yourself, Florence?
I do. They get lonesome.
No.
Yeah. I'm on the point of borders now. Borderline now. Just borderline now. It's, yeah, I actually left work all last week, you know. I knew nothing else. 6 days a week. And I loved it. And I now hadn't a mark after it. I shed all kinds of horses, stallions and everything. They came from all over to me. Anyone tell you that?
And you never ever got marked or anything?
Huh?
And you never ever cut yourself, never burnt yourself?
Yeah.
Have you had any injuries from...
Not an injury. Yeah, all I ever was in my lifetime, I gave 3 days in hospital in 06. And what happened to me was I got a nosebleed. And the sisters were down. And it was the month of February. And I was walking and I was subject, you know, to getting maybe... If I was washing myself, going out to mass, and I'd often get, you know, but it would stop. But anyway, they seen me when they see the towel with. Actually, I had gone out again walking. So they insisted on taking me to the doctor in here. And she was sitting up, the doctor had me. And they said I should go to hospital. And I went in. It stopped halfway in, to know the bleeding. But I went in anyway, and this big black man, he plugged it up. It was rough. There's a vet here. He's retired now. And he was just some experience, he'd know me well. He can't understand how I stood for that. Up into my father. And that was, he withdrew that down then again and put on another one. But anyway, the third day, they call him Mr., you know, these other doctors, like that. They call him Mr. Moriarty, was his name. And he came in, he said, I could go home the following day after 3 days. And then... It stopped, of course. But my sisters came in for me, and they were down from Dublin, and putting on my trousers. I went in, I suppose, Friday. And started bleed again. So a doctor came in, he put all ice down my pole, and he said, he came in again later that night, and he said if I was all right, the following morning I could go home. So sure enough, I was, and I came home. Coming down the stairs the next morning, bled again. And from that day till this, I didn't go anywhere. Never bled since. But I have a prayer. A fellow gave me a prayer. Do you know? And I have given it to people that have got bleeding. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it is Jesus, I don't know what it is now, who was baptized.
Hi, we're just interviewing Lawrence.
Lawrence.
That here, my confession.
Look, you have good neighbours.
Come on.
Getting
his dinner.
This is my brother now.
Is that your brother? Hello.
Oh, is that your brother you were talking about?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
How are you doing? He speaks very highly of you.
I don't know. We're only hanging on.
If I was hanging on at 83 like that, I wouldn't even be able to lift one of those hammers.
Let me think that. There are many blacksmiths left now.
No.
None?
No.
I remember there was one in Limerick at the top of where I lived, at the top of our road, and he closed down in about 1982. He closed down.
Yeah.
That blacksmith. Well, that was the last one I've ever heard of.
Yeah. You see, there were farriers and all that time, you know. You have farriers now going around, you know, doing the horse showing and all of that. Listen, come on, lads.
All right.
So, last question.
Yeah, all right.
What piece of advice would you give to anyone growing up today?
I don't know. I don't know. Yeah.
How come
here around, you couldn't tell them anything here around because they're good workers and they're honest and we never have trouble. There was a robbery, but... outside the last week, I didn't know when was there one before. There was a fella, he stood for a collection the Saturday night before, and someone was shouldn't be local. But anyway, there was another one last week again. from outside there, the fella, he broke into house back then. I say he'd succeed in here, but he went further on and he had a motorbike, and he went up a road. He left the motorbike there and came on over the road. There was a fella who was walking and catch his van and crashed inside near Killarney, and he was caught. Yeah, but he felt like he owed him nothing, but he didn't go. But I'd say that would never be for a robbery, like, you know. Mm. Yeah, yeah.
And what's your secret, Florence? Because you don't look 80.
And pardon?
What's your secret? You don't look 82, 83, are you?
We never drank any of us wanting, the family.
Right.
We're 6 pint years. Yeah, never drank.
That's very unusual for this area.
Yeah, we never. I tell you, I was serving mass. I got a pioneer bin from this priest. He's dead for years. I suppose I was only 12, 13. They have a new organisation, and when they started in, I remember he booked me in, and I have to pioneer pin since. And I was at up one time at Knock. There were back 3 fields. We went to a steam train. I think we were about 14 hours going years back, and I came home some bit faster anyway. But yeah.
And you still go to mass?
Pardon?
Do you still go to mass?
Oh, I never miss a mass for the world. I can't remember it. I can't remember a Sunday missing it.
Every Sunday?
Yeah. I have great faith, I'd be honest with you. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's working out for you anyway.
Huh?
It's working out for you.
Yeah, well, it is. Yeah, well, I have. The Holy Spirit, I have great faith in him if I'm in trouble. Seriously, you know. Mm. Yeah.
How I don't know how the Catholics are. When you say trouble, what do you mean trouble?
If it was only something I was difficult, that I'd be at the following morning. Or I'd be at maybe. And if I lost my wallet around the house, I think, which often happens. Do you know? And I find it. There are keys. Mm-hmm. Listen, lads, my dinner is ready. My brother will be coming down now.
Well, I was just going to ask you one question, right? Your brother will come in a second. And I just wanted. I wanted to know. Of all the memories in your life, what is your fondest and your happiest memory?
When I spoke to all Ireland, the football and the locals, and yeah, you're shaking me now there, I can't really think. But I suppose there's lots of things. My brother there now, I suppose, is nearly 40 years ago, he got a heart attack. Mm. And you know, like. He was carried into hospital, and he was all right. How's it going? Then went to a show, but next thing was he got a bed wallop inside. When he recovered, like, and he was low. Do you know, there were lots of those things, like, you know, family and
from when you were a child, what was the happiest you can remember being?
Yeah, we were close. Yeah, well, everyone. There were more across the road there now. There were a lot of neighbours. We were all pals. Yeah, and the sisters the same. And
you must have got up to some mischief, though.
Huh?
You must have got up to some mischief.
Yeah. Then you know the football. I wasn't a good footballer or anything like that, but I'd always go back to the football field. You'll get a kick around the goal or something, stand in the back of it, you know. And
yeah, but you're an artist, though. What you're doing—that's an artist.
I don't know. Yeah. As well, says, there's a finer place outside Trillian now, and you should go there. And it was my uncle was there. And the heritage crowd own it now. His family has died out. Mm. Actually, look at here, another picture. This is a small place, don't left here. And that was 2002. The family died out, and the one that had got it, they sorted, her husband died, and she had 2 young kids, and she sorted to the community out there, and they got a grant from the heritage. And this heritage, that's 2003. He's a priest out there, Father O'Donoghue. He's a great man for the boating and all to that.
And what are you doing there?
I could cutting the tape at the opening of the forge after being. I shared horses there for 2 or 3 years after, and they have a field there every year in August. Put all the tools and everything inside there.
And why did they ask you to cut it?
So my uncle was there.
Yeah.
So my uncle owned it. He lived here, a young man. He was the oldest of the family, my father's family.
That's a privilege, isn't it?
Yeah, it was, yeah. And I go out there every year. In August, it'd be on there in August. Should come down to that now.
I will do it.
Dancing and everything there.
So, Florence, you're basically a celebrity.
Well, I don't know.
Well, I don't know. Why do you think everyone is so interested in you and your life?
Huh?
Why do you think everybody is so interested in you and your life?
Well, I was always working for them, number one, and they were good people, you know. We got the potatoes from them, and, you know, and lots of that stuff, like, and things like that,
But like when we went into the pub the other night and we were saying, oh, we'd like to interview somebody local, and everybody in the pub said to interview you, yeah, because you were.
Well, you were here before today, so.
Yesterday.
Yeah, did you stay here? Did you stay here last night?
We stayed in, what was the name of this?
Just outside, do you know, the next wee town up.
Yeah.
We stayed up halfway up.
Carfi Lane.
Yeah, and it was just a little lane, and it was a little cottage. Yeah. We rented off a guy.
Yeah. Oh, you got it rented?
We rented it.
Yeah, lovely.
It was a big three bedroom.
Are they finished?
What?
Are they finished now? Look. Are they finished?
Yeah.
Honest. I'm sorry.
Okay. All right. No. Yeah. That's
thank
great.
You very much. Yeah,
you're welcome. Lawrence, can we send you the photographs?
I appreciate it.
Huh? Can we send you the photographs and the interview?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm so appreciative of Florence for agreeing to do this recording and welcoming us into his workshop and then to his home. It was great to see that romantic rural Ireland is still there and with a great sense of community. If you'd like to know more about Florence, just Google him. He seems to be a hit online. We came away with some great photographs of Florence, a great podcast, a poker for the fire and two old horseshoes. Personally, I came away with a little bit more, and that every time I've listened to Florence since we left Kerry, my soul feels a little bit warmer. If you do enjoy this podcast, please leave a review on iTunes or wherever you get your podcast. By doing this, you help this podcast get more listeners. Keep living your remarkable life. Until next time.